Hi, I'm Brad, and wherever you are, welcome to Blonde Radio. Hi, I'm Brad. I live on the west coast of Canada, and I love seeing things from a new point of view. And welcome to Blonde Radio, where every week I book calls with strangers from around the world. Today we'll talk to George, a skateboarding content creator who's pursuing his goals in NYC, Kelsey, a photographer and playlist curator in Wisconsin, and Black Six, a Bionicle fan site admin who's been helping create a community for 20 years. Do stay tuned after this week's episode for a special update regarding Blonde Radio and the podcast moving forward. But first, here's George. Hello.
Cool. I'm good. What's up, Brad? How are you?
Doing well. Yeah, I'm Brad. Nice to formally meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Awesome. How's the day been so far?
It's been a little bit busy. Well, I'm tired. I flew in last night at midnight.
Yeah.
I woke up early, so I'm after this, I'm going to take a nap.
Well deserved, I imagine. Yeah, I think I saw somewhere on your socials that you're going, like, leaving earlier this week. You're all over the place.
Yeah, I'm going to take it slower this month, I think. Starting now.
Good call. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to have a quick chat. It really means a lot.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I think you were like, I think I found you like super early in
Likewise,
my TikTok
yeah.
journey. So cool. Yeah, so I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll just jump right into it here. I'll give you some space to kind of give an elevator pitch on you. You know, who are you? What do you do? And what would you say got you to where you are today?
Cool. I can do that. Well, I'm George. So right now I consider myself to be a content creator. That's my job, at least. I make mostly YouTube videos about skateboarding and also just my lifestyle. And they're like skateboarding vlogs where I also talk about just what I'm doing throughout my day and my philosophies that I'm thinking about at the time and things like that. And I post on all the other social medias too. It's part of the job. I have a clothing brand called Aero Skate Co. with a driving message of follow your heart, because I think it's an important lesson that's brought me to where I'm at today, which flows nicely into the next answer. I think that at some point as I was growing up, I realized that I can do whatever I want, and I don't have to necessarily listen to any pressure that exists, period, from parents, educators, society, what have you. And sort of living my life in the way that just kind of following my intuition, I think, has really brought me here. And there's some practical things with that, like being consistent with like doing work and posting content. But I think the really most important thing that brought me here is like being true to myself and doing the things that I'm passionate about and living my life in a way that brings me joy.
No, I find that, at least in the conversations I've had with people, those are the people that are going to like stick it out. It's like if they are actually enjoying the thing that they've signed up for. No, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And you've been making content for like borderline a decade now, or at least like just putting out videos. You know,
it's been a while for sure.
What advice do you wish you had before you started? Or do you even wish you had any advice? Because so much of it is kind of about learning and failing and that whole process.
Yeah, that's a great question. I am kind of one of those people who believes that things happen the way they're supposed to.
Totally.
So yeah, I could tell my, like, one answer could be like, I wish I had realized that philosophy sooner, like the philosophy of being true to yourself and really relentlessly pursuing the things that you just want to. But I look back on like the times before I really knew that, where when I was still trying to get like a corporate job, and I see them as like, I look at them kind of fondly. It's like I was figuring it out. And I think how long it took me to like really come into myself makes it even more special now that I'm kind of just going at life more relentlessly in a more relentlessly authentic way.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm so curious, from a creator's perspective in this niche, this field, what was it like living through spring and summer of 2020, the sort of skateboarding renaissance we saw on TikTok in quarantine?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have so many answers to it. I mean,
yeah.
Are you thinking specifically in terms of like being a creator or just in general? What
sure.
was it like?
Either. Go for it.
Okay. It was being in New York was interesting because we were confined to a really small space. But I will say, like, I was immediately kind of like weirdly giddy. Like, I had this feeling like I was in a sleepover with my roommates like for months. And I was like weirdly, it kind of brought me back to like a simpler, like childhood like way of life. And I actually found creating content to be much less stressful during that time. I almost felt like this pressure had been lifted because like what the hell is the world going through right now? It's insane. I don't know. I felt like less pressed to have to make the best content because circumstances were so different. So I almost felt like more creatively free during that time. I think I did make some of my best videos during that time, and my channel had a spike as well, just because I think many people, and I think a lot of like TikTok careers were made out of that time because people were on social media. But that's really what I remember the most is like this sort of pressure was gone. And like, I think before that I was approaching this place of burnout, and then the pandemic hit and something shifted in my mind. I was like, oh, like I can calm down and just take it at a slower pace, spend more time chilling out, kind of because I had to.
Yeah,
it's interesting. And I'm almost feeling that again coming into the holidays, because it gets colder out. It's not as pressing to like go out and do the most all the time. And so I've been sitting on my computer more and putting more thought into my content, and it makes me happy.
I love that. Maybe taking a bit more time with it, the intentional.
I think so.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because I think life can feel so rushed, you know?
I was just about to ask, like, you know, we can't, I mean, and ideally we wouldn't want to rely on any international crisis to get that release from burnout. But are there any other tools you implement, like when it's getting a bit much?
I've really been thinking about this because like once the weather dropped, I started feeling better. And it's like, we've got to have access to that all the time. Because I'm like, I'm still working hard, but I'm not feeling burnt out. I'm like doing it in a more calm and peaceful way. And so I'm actively searching for these solutions. I think we have the ability to let go and just allow ourselves to feel calm and not work in such a fight or flight place. But it's not easy. For some reason, I think personally, at least, I automatically go to that kind of hectic and frantic mindset.
Yeah.
And I'm always looking for ways to just keep it cool and calm, and work with a clear head and just have that creative freedom and explore it and produce at the pace that comes naturally to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Kind of pivot here. Mm-hmm. What would you consider some key foundations in your day-to-day happiness? What sort of staples are you looking for, and how do you maintain them?
So my morning routine, if I do it,
yeah,
I'm much, much happier and calmer throughout the day. And it's crazy like how I notice that if I don't do it, I'm like significantly more in that fight or flight mentality for no reason. So my morning routine is just make my bed, meditate, make coffee, eat breakfast, and brush my teeth. That's it. And it's so simple, but if I just wake up and do that, I call it the hatching period. It's like where you just let your brain kind of, if I let myself hatch and just have that easy morning where I don't dive right into social media, I feel so much calmer. And another really important thing is my nightly routine.
Yeah.
Because sometimes my morning routine, it grounds me, it puts me in that peaceful place. And then slowly throughout the day, I shift into that autopilot. And if I go to sleep in that fast-paced mindset and then wake up, that's when life kind of feels like this hamster wheel. But if I hit the morning routine, do my thing throughout the day, and then take a moment to breathe and slow down and do my nighttime routine and kind of ground myself again, that creates this feeling like we're starting, we're stopping, we're resting before we start again. So those routines are super helpful for me personally.
Oh yeah, 100%. I'm a big advocate for the morning routine, but I hadn't considered the night routine like that. But
I highly recommend it.
For sure. And I can attest, I like love and subscribe to the idea of like completing small tasks in the morning, you know, filling that completionist sort of that dopamine hit.
Right.
Yeah, I can do little tasks. So I can probably do the big ones today too.
Yeah, I think I saw a tweet today that was like, you can put whatever you want on your to-do list, even if it's like wake up. Like, then you've already checked one off.
Yeah.
There is something that feels good about that.
100%. So kind of in closing here, we have like a theme or question of the week. So this week's question is, being completely honest with yourself, how strong would you say is your confidence and self-worth right now?
That's a great question. So I've come a long way with this. I think that it's a solid 9.5.
Let's go.
Would you like me to get into
absolutely,
why?
Yeah.
I think, man, I could talk about this for hours, but when the pandemic hit, I started this journey of learning about Buddhism, the concepts of letting go, stoicism, these kind of grounding philosophies. Mm-hmm. And I've really learned to not attach myself to anything. And it's like, if I don't need my channel to succeed, if I don't need any particular outcome for my life to happen, there's almost nothing to not be confident about. I can kind of just sit back and let my life unfold and enjoy it. And that mindset has been like incredibly powerful for me. And it's helped a lot of my anxieties just drop away because I just let life take me, you know, and enjoy the ride.
I love that. And so much of what you've talked to today is just, you mentioned at one point you put something like relentlessly living your life.
Yes.
That shit is hitting, man. I'm trying to get that. So thank you for planting that seed. And thank you for your time and your words. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Brad. I hope that seed grows. Let me know if it does.
Me too. Any exciting plans beyond the nap for today?
Yeah, I'm going to take it so easy in December and like spend a lot of time in my room.
Beautiful.
Taking it easy.
I love that. Well, yeah. I'll let you to it. Do enjoy the nap, but I'll talk to you later.
Nice talking to you, Brad.
Likewise. Ciao. Hello. How's it going?
Good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Can't complain. I'm trying the whole waking up early thing. And I think for now I like it, but we'll see how I feel in like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Brad. Nice to more formally meet you.
Yeah. Nice to meet you. I'm Kelsey.
Kelsey,
I'm so excited to do this. This is so cool.
Yeah. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day. Really means a lot.
Of course.
And then where are you calling from?
I'm from Wisconsin.
Beautiful. I've been once forever ago.
Yeah.
Oshkosh. For like a conference, a youth conference when I was like 13. It was a whole thing.
That's so funny.
It was very
unique. Not a lot of people visit here, so.
I remember big open spaces.
Cornfields.
Yeah, the airport had lots of like cheese related memorabilia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
I love it. Well, cool. I'll give you kind of some space here at the top to sort of give the elevator pitch on you. You know, who are you? What do you do? And what would you say got you to where you are today?
Yeah. So my name is Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
I am 24 years old. And for the past, I want to say it's been about a year, I've been doing freelance photography as my quote unquote full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a bartender and a server, but got laid off because of COVID. But I was like, hey, why don't I just try this photography thing? I've been doing it as a hobby for a while. And yeah, it's just been going well from there. And then I started doing TikTok as well, and now I have a following on TikTok, and I talk about music and stuff, and I get to make personal playlists for people, and it's been so crazy and so fun so far.
Yeah,
yeah, that's about who I am.
I think, yeah, and that was like kind of, I wouldn't say surprising, but maybe something that caught me off guard is like, because I think I've maybe found you, I can't remember where I found you, maybe on Instagram first, and I was like, oh, cool, photography, and then on TikTok. Is very much like not photography.
I know, yeah.
So I guess my question is like, was it like planned to start making videos on TikTok, or did you just kind of stumble into it? You're having fun? Like what sort of happened there?
Yeah, so it was this whole crazy thing. So last year in January, I think I had maybe like 3,000 followers on TikTok, and I was just kind of on there to look at stuff. And I was like, you know, why don't I do like a giveaway for my photography? And my photography account was also very small. So I like wanted to try to get more followers and all this. So I was like, I'll do a giveaway. If I reach 5,000 followers, I will do a photo shoot anywhere in the United States. And I want to say within the span of like a month and a half, I got to 5,000. And then some after that on my Instagram, and I ended up going to Oregon to do a photo shoot for the giveaway winner. It was really crazy. And then, so I was doing some photography stuff on my TikTok account, but photography doesn't do so hot on there. So I kind of stopped for a while, and then, like, I've had a YouTube channel as well for a long time, so I'm like, why don't I just talk about music like how I do on my YouTube channel? And then I started doing that, and then that kind of started going off for me. Anthony Fantano found my account and my videos, and I was like, oh my god, and he tweeted about me, and I was like freaking out, and it had it brought me like so much traction, and so he kind of like helped kickstart my music account on TikTok in a way. And he was so cool, super supportive. We've collabed twice, and yeah, that's kind of how the story of how my accounts have gotten bigger.
My like, it's clicking into place now. I feel like I've seen one of those videos.
You probably have.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah. Tell me, as someone who's very much kind of on the outside of this, about these playlists. Like, how does it all work, and how are you curating? Where do your ideas come from? All that.
Yeah. So I had a lot of people when I first started out, like when my account first started to get bigger, I would go on my live streams and they'd be like, hey, could you make me a playlist? This would be a fun idea if you wanted to like charge people for playlists. Like, I would totally pay for one. So I have a Patreon now, and then I just have people subscribe. I have a playlist tier for $15 a month, and then I make you a 45 song playlist. And then I also have one for like a secret unique playlist of the month for $5, and I just kind of like talk to the people through the app, and everyone has such different tastes, so I've kind of broadened my music knowledge a lot by doing it too. So everyone's super sweet. It's always super fun making them, and it's kind of a dream job at this point for me. I never thought it was possible, but it's definitely something I really like doing. Like, this is actually really cool. So
that's so cool. And then like literally just before I hopped on this call, it's awesome to see you get little hookups like Fender, I guess, sending you a guitar, like what the
yeah. That was like back in September. They reached out. They're like, hey, we want to work with creators who haven't really played guitar too much. And like, I have my whole life, but I haven't in the past like 2-ish years, 3 years.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, I would love a guitar to just make some TikToks. That'd be really cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Social media these days is so wacky and weird. And
it's
even like
crazy.
I did kind of my quote unquote formal schooling, like college and university. I did a bit of both, like 2017 through 2019 ish. And nothing could have like prepared me for like TikTok and just how much weird, random like influence and platform people can get from just like the most odd stuff. But hey, if there's an audience for it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it never used to be like that either, because, like I said earlier, I was on YouTube before, and it is so hard to have anyone see your YouTube, because there's no really, like, good way to discover new people on there. It's just kind of like, here's your subscriptions. That's about it. And just, like, trending and stuff. So it's been really cool that TikTok exists now, because I feel like it's giving a lot of people a bigger space to let out their interests and stuff, and it's really cool.
Especially in that time frame you're talking about, kind of around when you started your account, and when like COVID initially hit, some of my I feel like that's when I saw some of my favorite creators like really flourish and take off, because everyone just had extra time and everyone had the app, and it's been awesome. Speaking to your photography, because I've just been also very much enamored, there's a real, at least like from my perception and my take on what you're creating, there's like this really authentic kind of timelessness that I just love so much. I don't know if that was the aim or intent at all, but that's where it's hitting for me. My question for you is, what itch does photography scratch that you can't really get in any other medium? You know, what kind of does it for you with photography?
I would say being able to work with a ton of people on a shoot. I didn't realize how much I loved working with people until I started actually doing it. And everyone is always super nice, and just like collaborating with people and seeing how everyone can make a photo come to life with like makeup and hair and someone who styles as well, and just like coming up with a vision and stuff like that. And I know kind of when I first started out doing like my fashion and editorial stuff around this time last year, I was really into bold colors and bold color schemes and stuff like that. So that was definitely like my niche, my niche, whatever it's called back then. And it's kind of progressed more into like, I don't want to say like high-ish fashion, but not, I don't really have too many bold colors in my photos anymore, just because I guess that's not really what agencies like. So I've kind of like steered away from that. And I try to do more editorial stuff, and again, been really cool just working with a lot of different people. I always thought I was an introvert, but I really like meeting new people, so it's been really cool.
That's awesome. I love that so much. I'm glad you're exploring and discovering, and that's so much of the process is, you know, switching it up and finding new things to try out. No, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, kind of in closing here, we have a question or like a theme of the week. So this week's question, and you know, it's going to sidestep here a bit, but are you willing and comfortable to ask for the support you need when you need it in life? Would you say that's a true statement for yourself?
I would say for the most part, I would say more so with my partner than like people on the internet or anything, just because being vulnerable with like an audience when you have such a big audience is kind of scary, and just getting that many like things on advice or like, oh, you should do this, it just gets very overwhelming. So I think asking from like your small support group is, to me, that's like the best option I have, just because I trust them and everyone's usually very kind and supportive of what I have to say or ask for help on or anything. So definitely in like my little small community that I have. But yeah,
that's awesome. What advice would you give to someone who's maybe struggling to bridge that gap of asking for help when they need it?
I would say to just do it. A lot of people just tend to hold back because they're scared of people's reactions or what they will think of them or if they'll judge them. But if you just ask, the worst someone can say is either no, I don't have time to help you, or just like something along those lines. And even then, that's not bad, because you'd rather reach out and possibly ask for it than sitting there and wondering and like making yourself sick, wondering like, oh, I should have asked them for help, I really need help, etc. and all that. So just, I know it's hard, but just like try to do it. Just push yourself past your limits of what you can do. I used to be the same way. I never used to reach out to anyone. I would just like sit and have all my emotions inside my head, and just like it would get worse and I'd get super sad. And then once I started asking for support and just like help from people or advice or anything like that, everything just seemed to get a little bit easier in life. And I wasn't so stressed out in my head, because like actually talking about what you're thinking or your problems and stuff like that, it actually helps a lot. So
surprising how that works. No, for real. If anything, like the most that I've learned in the past year and a half is the inaction is basically like giving yourself like the wrong answer from the, like, you're gaining nothing from not moving. Like, even if you fail in your movement, you're gonna learn from that.
Exactly.
I love that. Thank you so much for your time and your words.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me on here. This was so much fun.
Always. I appreciate it. Sweet. Any exciting plans the rest of your day?
I think I'm going to make a TikTok or two. Just kind of hang out and stuff, but not too much.
I love that. Fantastic. Yeah. Closing out the week strong.
Yes.
Sweet. Well, do enjoy. I'll let you to it. But again, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. It was so nice meeting you.
Likewise. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Yeah. This final interview is a little different. This is the full conversation that was recorded for a brand new Blonde Radio YouTube video. The flow and format is a little different, but I enjoyed it all the same, and I think you will too. Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
Doing well. I'm Brad. Nice to formally meet you.
Yeah. Thanks for reaching out.
Totally. Just, yeah, for a little bit of background, I've been making content and videos for years now, and I'm finally gotten some traction. And so some feedback I got from my creator friends is like, you should be making content about you. I'm like, well, what about me? And I was going through some of my old stuff, and I, you know, came across all my Bionicles, and I was like, wow, this hella impacted me in such a meaningful way growing up, really built who I was in a lot of weird ways. So I just have like some base questions, because back in the day, after school, religiously, I would log on to BZ Power. I like never made an account, but I would just like read all the articles and reviews and the forums and everything. And the comics is a whole genre of its own. The sprite comics, holy moly, how niche can you get?
Yeah, it had its own little following there.
Totally. So I was so surprised, because I'm like, first I discovered like, oh, okay, they have a Discord. And then I saw Black Six. I'm like, I wonder if this is someone from like OG. And to my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been doing this since 2000 or earlier?
So the website started in 2001, and I joined a little bit after it started. So over 20 years now.
I mean, and how did you get in on that ground floor? Like, how were you in the know right off the bat?
Just luck, I guess. So I don't know if you were ever involved in any like Yahoo clubs or Yahoo groups. It was like their own little message boards, kind of like AOL chat rooms. So I had a Bionicle like club over there. Mm-hmm. And I guess one day I was just searching, probably, this was like pre-Google, this was like Alta Vista.
Yeah.
And I found this other website that someone had started. I'm like, oh, this is cool. This looks like way better than this Yahoo stuff. So let me come over here.
That's awesome.
And yeah, just never stopped.
And you just like got involved at a level, like were you basically like admin right away or what happened?
It was kind of a gradual process. Mm-hmm. So I started out as like a moderator of some of the sub forums there, just like helping out enforcing the rules. And then I became a reporter posting news on the front page. And then just kind of over time, everyone else left and I was the only one there. So they put me in charge kind of thing.
That's awesome.
Just kind of seniority ended up and just being a person who had the means to keep the site going, I guess, helped a little bit too.
I bet. What, in your opinion, has been like some of the highlights of this whole experience, especially of just the forums and the community? When you look back, what are like those memories that you think you'll keep forever?
Yeah, it's 20 years. There's so many at this point. Probably one of the first would have been 2006, where I went to my first LEGO convention and actually got to like meet some of these people I've been talking to for 5 years in person. So that was definitely huge. And, you know, some of the people I met at that event, I'm still friends with to this day. Yeah. And, you know, just like the friendships and everything. Mm-hmm. And then another big thing would have been in 2014. So Bonicle ended in 2010 and then they're rebooting it. And LEGO invited a bunch of us to go to New York Comic Con, where they were doing the relaunch. And they had a party at the LEGO store there and everything. So that was a really special moment as well.
That's awesome. I think I remember reading that that article on the front page. Yeah, yeah. Wow. What keeps you still engaged with this community? And as you've maybe said and mentioned, you know, maybe the numbers haven't been as lively and you can contribute that to a bunch of different factors, but what keeps you still around?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the community isn't nearly as big as it was. You know, Bonicle's a phenomenon back in the day. You know, you talk to people about it and like you look at some of the numbers they're doing for sales, it was crazy. But the people who are still around are still just so passionate about it. And like, you know, kind of like I was hinting at with my defining moments, right? It's those friendships you make. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I'd be without some of these people I've met through this journey. So and I just want to keep that site out there for other people, because I know it means so much to them too, right? And it's like, you know, I know it's meant so much to so many people, and that kind of keeps me energized to keep it running.
Listen, you got a lurker here, even though I'm not like officially, I may have made an account once when I was a kid, but like I'll like go back maybe every 2-3 months. I'll do a good scour, see like what's up, what's new, what are we reporting on. Yeah, that's cool. And I love that that's a point you're bringing up, is the connections. I feel like so behind the curve. Basically, I lost my first kind of real adult marketing job once COVID hit, and I just turned to making videos because that's what I've always been doing, and I actually got some traction this time. I've been doing stuff online. You're so right, meeting people from all corners of the world that you wouldn't bump into on your day-to-day and making these connections. And you were doing this in like 2001. Like... The internet was so fledgling back then. How have you seen a difference in, you know, people's perspective on online friendships then to now?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, it was like stranger danger, right? Yep, don't give out your real personal information online kind of thing. And so that's all changed, and you've gotten a lot more open about that and realize that, hey, you can make these meaningful connections and things like that. So yeah, I mean, I don't think the friendships are any less real back then than they are now. It's just that, you know, now it's so much easier to make those connections with so many different people, easier to find people. And now, you know, back then video chat was barely a thing. Like you had Skype and it was like, you know, a grainy, like little picture like this kind of thing.
No noise suppression. Easier to, like,
easier to like make a real connection online, I think.
That's awesome. What, in a general, broad, sweeping sense, for you, defines a community? What are you looking for when you want to find like-minded people and get involved?
I mean, yeah, I guess it's just there's got to be something to bring people together, you know, some sort of common interest or common goal. And I've been parts of a lot of different communities over the years, and the LEGO community is by far the one I've stuck with the most. But yeah, just like, and it's funny because you go there for one thing and you find out that you have all these other similarities with people, mm-hmm. Whether it's other shared interests or, you know, similar life stories and things that brought you there. That was a big thing back in the early internet days, is that a lot of us who were going online to these forums all had kind of something in common, right? We tended to be like the outcasts, mm-hmm. or the nerds, you know, homeschool kids, kind of things like that. And so we all gathered online and we all kind of had that shared connection there that really helped bring the community together at the beginning, I think.
Totally. I very much can, yeah, empathize with that. You know, you join over one factor and then it's like, oh, shoot, maybe the algorithm of everything that's going on. Yeah, I guess it makes sense that we have other things in common. Mm-hmm. No, that's cool. Yeah, I guess maybe in closing here, like, I know it's kind of a big general vague question, but like, why Bionicle? Why did you have this, you know, such a connection with this line, this product? And as you said, a phenomenon in time.
I'll turn it back on you. What got you into Bionicle?
You know, now you have to, I'm 25 now. So when the first wave came out, I was, like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And you know, my folks growing up, we came from a pretty conservative household. So any toys that we got to play with had to be somewhat educational, and Lego was like great for that, 'cause you're building stuff. And right. Are you familiar with Meccano?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. My dad, that was like his toy growing up. And I think maybe he saw the similarities maybe with like the Technic system, and it's like, you know what, have a shot. And my brother and I, like, the toys were cool, but we were just so enamored with the story, because we weren't allowed a lot of media in our house growing up, and having access to the comics, the web animations, the Matt Nui online game. Oh my Lord, the hours we played on our big tube monitor computer that could barely like do like 5 frames per second. It was just such an escape and such a vast, I don't know, there was just so many layers and questions, and you could make your own stories and adventures. And as a kid, you know, that really hits. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much the story of everyone who got in those early years of Bionicle, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, the toys look cool, but then you go online or you put that little mini CD that comes with it in your computer, and it just opens your mind, right? That story, that mm-hmm. the atmosphere, right? That music that you heard like the first time you went to like the Bionicle website just sucks you in. They did such a good job. Mm-hmm. You know, transmedia wasn't even a word in 2001, but they found lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's why it was such a phenomenon. I think it was like the right theme at the right time, just in those early days of the internet, when there was enough bandwidth that you could do things like the online game and have a cool website. And then from there, you know, I got into the community and started meeting people and seeing the awesome stuff they were building and stories they were telling. That's one of the things with Bionicle specifically, because I'd played with Lego my whole life. I guess I was 13 years old when I joined BZ Power, so a bit older, but you know, still like young and interested in storytelling kind of thing. And you know, it's just like seeing the things people were doing. And just kind of being able to escape into that world were so awesome.
Totally. Like to this day, like, and I was like, maybe, I think I was in high school at the time, but we were still like, my brother and I invested in the comics. When they offed Matoro, I remember rereading that comic like 5 or 6 times, like wishing the end was different. I was so shocked that a toy company had made this character, a character we met in the very first comic, and had this such an emotional journey with them. And man, like, you know, today I've gotten big into film and media and movies and stories, and I'm all about that. But I don't know if anything's quite giving me chills like that one huge, that one panel of Matoro doing sort of that hero pose with the mask on. It's just.
Yeah. Yeah. And they dropped that bomb on you.
Oh, wrecked me.
And that's a cool thing they did too. There was bringing back the characters in different forms. Like, you know, it's a toy company, right? They have to sell the toys, but they still did a good job of being like, no, but these are those characters you know that you've been growing up with, and you know who they are.
There was an effort really, and there was a heart there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. I really appreciate this. Thank you for taking a few minutes out of the day to chat. It means a lot.
Yeah, no. Again, thanks for reaching out.
Of course.
Always happy to talk about Bionicle.
Fantastic. Any exciting plans for the rest of your day?
I'm checking out some Halo Infinite.
Beauty. It's been a lot of fun. Man, it's nostalgia days out here for real.
Yeah, well, I started playing that 20 years ago as well.
It's all full circle. Hey, you know what? Sometimes, yep. Yeah, we say we don't want sequels, but then they do Infinite and you're like, yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. Well, I'll let you to it.
Yeah. Thanks. Awesome. Have a good rest of your day.
Hey, you too. Ciao. Special thanks to George, Kelsey, and Black Six for making this episode possible. Intro music provided by Wafy and accompanying tracks by Low Boil, who can both be found on all major streaming platforms. The Blonde Radio podcast will be going on hiatus. I've spent nearly the last 2 years interviewing and listening to people all around the world, and I've loved every moment of it. But for now, I want to focus my energy on creating with these people. Video content has always been my true passion, and I want to take that deep dive now and focus on some content I'm not only proud of, but that I think will also make a difference. I hope you'll join me on this ride, both on YouTube and TikTok at Blonde Radio. As always, I'll see you soon, and thank you so much for tuning in to Blonde Radio.